But hey, everybody, welcome back to my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads. You're probably watching the playback of this video on Justin's YouTube channel, Chaplain's Log. So thanks for tuning in. And just in case you don't know, I'm streaming from a lot of places right now, like usual, right? So I'm streaming on my Facebook page. You're probably watching from there, Sean Christopher Jenkins. I'm also streaming on my LinkedIn page as well. And then I'm streaming right now from my Twitter page or X, whatever you want to call it, Trouble Don't Last. And then also my Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and Snaps, Trouble Don't Last as well. But anyways, me and Justin got a treat for you guys today. So if you guys don't know, on February 2nd, 2024, on February, let me say the date again, February 8th, 2024. So February 8th, 2024. So 2/8/24, they had the statue unveiling of Kobe Bean Bryant. So I told you guys, Kobe Bryant is my favorite basketball player of all time. And if you guys been tuning into my YouTube channel, my podcast, Upload Past Crossroads, I'm on every podcast platform you can think of. Just look it up, Upload Past Crossroads. But anyways, Kobe Bryant, I've been talking about him a lot on my YouTube channel, and I've been talking about sports more so on my YouTube channel. And I even had somebody tell me, you know, maybe you shouldn't talk about sports like that because, like, you know, it's a graven image. You know, it's an idol. You know, basketball is an idol. Football is an idol. Like, so it's a stumbling block to some people. Or they said, like, you know, maybe you just shouldn't talk about sports because what does that have to do with God? You know, so and so I've been talking about that because that actually is what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians. So me and Justin have done Bible studies on 1 Corinthians on our YouTube channels before. And we need to go back to it because we only have 1 Corinthians. I don't like what we did with 1 Corinthians 13, so there's more we can do with that. And then obviously 1 Corinthians 14, 15 to end off 1 Corinthians. And then we got to do 2 Corinthians. But anyways, we got a lot of work to do here. All right. But with those Bible studies, we were talking about graven images a lot. We were talking about idols a lot. And we were talking about, you know, basically what your preference is, your opinion is. Like, and Paul had to deal with that with the Corinthian church. Like, he had to deal with people's opinions. And sometimes people make their opinions to be God. Sometimes people make their preferences to be how God wants everybody to be. And Paul crapped on that real fast when it came to the baby Christians of 1 Corinthians, because that's what they were, baby Christians, right? So he had the baby stuff down for them. He's like, be like, it's okay to do these things. Like, I don't know, eat food from idols. Like, oh, that's a shocker. Like, but like, if you don't worship the idol and you don't think the idol's relevant and God is your only God, then fine, do it. But if it costs another person to stumble, don't do it at all. That's what Paul said. And so that's basically what we're going to talk about today. All right, because I got a few questions for you guys. So like I said, they had the statue unveiling of my favorite basketball player of all time, Kobe Bean Bryant, on 2/8/24. So February 8th, 2024. So his numbers were number 8. That was his first number when he played for the Lakers. And then eventually he switched over to number 24. So that's where 2024, right, 24. The number 8, so February 8th. Right. And then number 2 was his daughter's number. That was her basketball number. So they were remembering her. So that's why they had his statue unveiling of his 81-point game, man. He's supposed to get 3 statues. So he ain't like just any other person. My mom was like, why does Kobe get more than one statue? Michael Jordan didn't. Because it's Kobe Bean Bryant, right? He wore number 8. He wore number 24. And they want to remember Gigi. So the third statue is going to be him and Gigi, right? They already got number 8 now, so that was his 81-point game statue. So Vanessa Bryant, his wife, was like, if you have a problem with this statue we're about to unveil, you could take it up with, well, Kobe said tough crap, like, you know, tough S-word, because that's what Kobe would say, right? Because Kobe wanted this statue to be his statue with number 8, right? So this is what he chose before he died, so. Yeah, like, it's just awesome for me, but, like, not for everybody. So that's the whole point, right? That's where we're going in for today's video. Just, I'm going to let you talk, man. I know you got something to say, like, just when I started out the video.
Yeah, and that's always, and that's always tough, like, because Sean and I will be asking, like, what is a graven image? Do statues count as graven images? I've also heard, like, tattoos can count as graven images. I won't jump the gun yet, but we'll, like, put that into context. And I think a big part of it is always goes towards intentions. Like, we've talked about it we've talked about intentions a bunch on this channel, and like a lot of things are not inherently bad. It's just how we use it. It's kind of like a scalpel. Like if you put it in a doctor's hands, he's going to save a life. If you put it in a serial killer's hands, he's going to murder people. It's all about like how you use it. We do have to be very careful about some things though, because obviously some things would lead more into sin than other things. And I don't have any good examples right now. So for those things, we do have to draw a hard line for those. But we're going to see if, like, do statues count as that? Or what was God intending as far as the graven images? I've got a little bit of the Hebrew that we can talk about a little bit. But I don't think we need to use it to, like, necessarily take away from people's fun. I think we do have to keep each other accountable if, like, we get, like, too far gone, obviously. But, I mean, that's between you and your brother or sister in Christ. I don't think we need to be calling people that we don't know out about it. But I do think that sports or like some of the athletes can be a great ground to like connect with other people. Like I think music, like rock and roll, classical music, pop music, a lot of that can help connect people. And in those ways, those can connect people. If you can connect people and relationships, you can find a way to connect them to Christ as well. Mm. But yeah, I think we can go into statues and sports to see if that's something that people can connect with, or if it's just all 100% against the Ten Commandments.
Right. Yeah, let's go ahead and get to it, guys. So basically, we got to this video because, again, like, I've been talking about sports a lot on my social media
platforms. A lot, yeah.
And I basically had, they weren't calling me out. They kind of asked me a question, like, you know, like, and they kind of gave their whole hand saying, like, you know, sports is like an idol. Like, we should have nothing to do with sports. Mm. And then especially sports statues, like, oh, that's what they said. They said, like, when I preach about sports and talk about like Kobe Bryant and the Los Angeles Lakers, and that's what I'm passionate about, like, you know, that's going too far, like that has nothing to do with the gospel. That's kind of what they said, right? And so that's what I want to talk about today, because that again ties in with something Paul said in First Corinthians and a lot of his epistles. So like, again, everybody has a way of operating in life. Everybody has a stuff that they're passionate about. So what my passions are may not be yours. So one thing I'm passionate about from the get-go, and just I want you to answer the question too. Like, what are you most passionate about in life? Like, one of the things I'm most passionate about, and I always go to, it's my go-to, is basketball. I love basketball. Do I like the game of basketball like an NBA player? That's a heck to the no. Otherwise, I'd be in the NBA, right? I like basketball from a spectator standpoint, from an analogist standpoint, taking out analogies and using it as inspiration for my life. So, like, that's why I like the game of basketball. Also, if I'm going to work out, I play basketball. I don't like running, and I have to run for a purpose, you know, for a reason. And so basketball helps me to run without thinking because I'm in my head too much, right? So, like, yeah, like the game of basketball, that's what it is to me. Like, I've just been playing it since I was 8. Like, I fell in love with the game. Kobe Bryant helped me to fall in love with the game, and now Steph Curry. So it's just like, yeah, like, so that's what the game of basketball is for me. But for some people, basketball is a stumbling block. For some people, basketball is a graven image. For some people, basketball does not give glory and honor to God at all. And that's fine. That's for you. But that's not for everybody. And that's what Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians especially. All right, but I'm giving like a huge introduction. I'm like, I'm kind of giving my hand. I should have never gave it. But I want you guys to think about that like when we go through the video.
Yeah.
So some questions I have for you guys too is this. And Justin, when you're ready to answer, man, just go ahead. All right. So let me make this bigger so everybody can see it like really good. All right. So my first question was, what does the Bible mean when it talks about graven images? So I want you guys to be thinking about this question, and I want you guys to answer that. All right. So what does the Bible mean when it talks about graven images? And is it a sin for sports teams to have statues around their stadiums or arenas? Because we know that a lot of sports teams, they have, you know, legends playing their, you know, for their organizations, their institutions, and now they have statues remembering them forever, immortalizing them, keeping their legacy alive, and showing how much they meant to the game of basketball, football, baseball, whatever. whatever they did for that organization, it meant everything to everybody. So that's how you even get a statue, right? So, yeah, is it a sin for sports teams to have statues around the stadiums? You know, are they graven images? That's a deep question. Are these statues that sports arenas and stadiums have around them the graven images that the Bible is referring to? Okay, that's kind of the same question. But you guys get it. All right. And is it a sin to make a statue of a man? So even Martin Luther King Jr. has a statue. Even Abraham Lincoln has a statue. I think Jesus even got a statue somewhere in the world. Like, so like, you know, is it a sin to have a statue of a man? Right. Kobe Bean Bryant, favorite basketball player of all time. And this is the most important question. Under any circumstances, is it okay to have up a graven image? That's the main question. And so, like we've been talking about on my YouTube channel and from the book that me and Justin have been reading, we need to go back to it and do videos on it. But the Old Testament for a Complex World, right? So that book, Justin. All right. So like that book was talking about, the Bible contradicts itself a lot. So what one author writes about, another author would say something completely different. And we're about to see that with the graven images, right? So I'm pretty sure with these questions I just asked, somebody is like, well, in the Bible it says don't make a graven image. Okay, yeah, you're right. It does say that, but also it says something else too in another place. So what do you do with both of those two contradicting messages, right? To say that it says one thing and then deny that it says it the complete opposite somewhere else, that's not a good solution, right? There's a reason why it contradicts each other. So what is God trying to do with the contradiction? What is the Bible trying to accomplish with these contradictions, right? So let's get to it. So in Exodus 20, verse 4 through 5, for example, this is obvious. This is what somebody would have, this is the first verse they probably would have used to answer these questions. You know, they're going to say, you know what, you must not make for yourselves an idol of any kind or an image of anything. I need to highlight that, of anything in heavens or on the earth or in the sea. Stop. We can stop there. That was the answer. Don't make any kind of image, right? So some people would take that. That literally means don't make any kind of image at all, right? And I'm going to just skip. I'm gonna come back to that verse in a minute. But let me just skip to another verse real quick. Yeah, so those are all the graven images. All right, so that verse said don't make any images at all. Don't make it because it can be an idol, right? That's what that verse said, right? But then think about the Ark of the Covenant. So what do you guys know about the Ark of the Covenant? So we know that in the book of Exodus, God commanded Moses to make a tabernacle and make a tent offering and make this area where the Levites would make sacrifices to God. The Levites would, for the people of Israel, would literally make preparations for God to glorify God and all that stuff, right? So the tabernacle was accomplishing a lot of things. So with the tabernacle, God wanted to dwell with his children. He wanted to be closer to his children. He wanted to, you know, bring heaven here to earth. So that's why the tabernacle was even created, right? So what is the tabernacle? It's just a place where God wanted to dwell and have his presence be with his children. So the children of Israel, after they came from, you know, the captivity and being in slavery for 400 years in Egypt, right, with the Egyptians. So now they're in the wilderness, and God wants to be with them in the wilderness, guys. That's powerful. God wants to be with you in your wilderness of life, in your isolation, in your period of dryness, and in the harshest times of your life where the scorching heat and the sun's beaming down on you, and life's going awful. You don't have any water or nourishment that you need. God's there to fulfill your needs in the midst of your wildernesses of life, in the midst of your uncertainties and the times of life that's confusing, and you don't know where you're going to go. You're just running through the wilderness, just like the Israelites. So it's powerful, guys. There's a lot of analogies you can pull from the tabernacle and just from that whole entire experience with the Israelites, right? And so the Ark of the Covenant, God told them that he wanted them to make all these different furnishings. So in the Ark, in the tabernacle alone, so they had an outer court. So this is the outer court right here, right? So this place on the right, you guys see my cursor moving around like crazy, right? So the whole entire tabernacle, like, it was, you know, covered with white linen, and it was a certain height. So it's fenced in from the rest of all where the Israelites were living. So the rest of the Israelites, so the different tribes, you know, tribe of Benjamin, I can't think, all the 12 sons of Jacob, all those tribes, they became tribes. and, you know, many people within those tribes, right? They're all outside of this place where God's dwelling, and where the Levites, the only people of Israel who could make sacrifices or do anything for God, the priests, right, of the Israelites, they were allowed in this tabernacle. Anybody was allowed in, but mainly them, they were doing all the workings and stuff. So they had to make, you know, when you come into the tabernacle, there's a bronze altar, so there's sacrifices being made just from the jump, right? So that symbolizes Jesus and his sacrifice and how each and every single thing. So the bronze laver right here, that symbolizes washing, repentance, being cleansed from your sin, right? So that's what Jesus can do for you when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, right? Then you get closer to the inside of the whole tabernacle where God's presence literally is. So you're getting closer and closer to his presence, right? And so eventually you come to the place of the Holy of Holies. So this is the Holy of Holies, and this is just the whole entire holy place, right? This is the whole entire holy place, right? And they have many furnishings in this holy place. This is where God abides in. So see, this is symbolizing heaven, right? This is how heaven is. Like, this is what it looks like where God is, right? So God is literally where the Ark of the Covenant is, right? Where the Holy of Holy place is, right? So there's a veil covering this because it's too much, right? And then there's cherubim on this Ark of the Covenant, right? And so, okay, I'm just going to stop there, right? I could keep on going to really break it down, but you guys get it, man. You just got to go to my YouTube channel and check out more on that. I have a playlist on the Ark of the Covenant. I have a playlist on Exodus 20, playlist on 1 Corinthians 8. So this is what we're talking about right now, right? Just focus on Ark of the Covenant, right? So with the Ark of the Covenant, God commanded them to, you know, make all this stuff. And when he first commanded them to do all these things, right, for the tabernacle, this is what he said. So I'm going to use, what verse do I want to use? Yeah, this one right here. So Exodus 25, verse 17 to 22. So God was telling them to make, you know, the things that you saw in the tabernacle, you know, the altar and incense that should be made with gold. So that's the altar and incense. The table of showbread should be made with all gold. It can have some silver on it, but not really. I don't know. No, actually, everything in the tabernacle had to be all gold, right? And then the candles had to be all gold. It had to be like, I think it was 12 candles or something like that. By the way, goes, you guys get it. So all that's gold. Everything outside the tabernacle right here is bronze. And bronze and gold symbolize a lot of things. Gold symbolizes divinity, right? So divine, God, right? So that's why the whole entire tabernacle is made of gold, right? But underneath the tabernacle, it has like a silver foundation. Silver symbolizes, you know, payment. You know, Jesus being portrayed with silver. You know, Judas got silver in return for Jesus' payment on the cross. Right, so that's what silver symbolizes, redemption. Right, that's what Jesus brings to us, redemption. So you can be redeemed. Right, you gotta see it. It's, everything's connecting. So it goes a lot deeper with the Ark of the Covenant. But basically, God told them to make two cherubim of gold. So he commanded them to make two images, graven images. These can be considered graven images. So things. You remember that verse said, "Don't make any images on heaven or in the sea, from the sea or from the earth." Of anything, right? But God commanded these people to make two cherubim of gold, two angels of gold, right? On the Ark of the Covenant. I'm going to read some of the verse. So it says in Exodus 25, verse 17 and 22, "And thou shalt make a mercy seat pure of gold. Two cubits and a half shall be length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make two cherubim of gold, and beaten work shalt thou make them in two ends of the mercy seat. And make one cherubim on the one end and the other on the other end. Even the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubim of the two ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look on one another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the Ark of the Covenant. In the ark thou shalt put the testimony that thou shalt give thee. And there I will meet thee, and I will commune with thee. From above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the Ark of the Testimony, and all these things which I've given thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." So guys, like I was trying to say, so if making a graven image is a sin, which everybody would say, that's what most people say, why would God command? See, this is what most people would not say, because they don't read the Bible like that. They don't have Bible studies. They don't study it. You know, they see the Bible as like the whole ocean front. So they go to the beach, but they don't ever go in the ocean and dive in and really see what's in the ocean. Because 80 to 85% of the ocean has yet to been discovered. There's way more to discover about the Bible than what's on the the front and on the surface level from just reading the Bible, right? So why, if a graven image under any circumstances is a sin, why would God command the children of Israel, his people, to make images of angels on top of these ark, on top of the Ark of the Covenant, where his presence, it'd be different if it was somewhere else. No, this is where his presence is. But even then, when you come into the Ark of the Covenant, I think all around the tabernacle, like, it's red and blue and purple linen, right? So when you enter into, when you enter into just the outer courts, where the white is, so white symbolizes purity. Jesus, there's nobody purer than Jesus. He paid the sacrifice, right? That's what bronze symbolizes. Bronze symbolizes punishment, judgment. So this is why everything on the outside of the tabernacle is made of bronze, because this is what Jesus did for us. Because sin brought judgment, punishment, bronze, right? Beaten. So, but to enter in the tabernacle, red, blue, and purple, like, that symbolizes Jesus again. So blue is divinity again, the sky, pure heavens, the heavens, right? Red symbolizes blood, Jesus's blood. Purple symbolizes deity, royalty, holiness, right? So somebody, a king, divinity, purple. So this is what, you never believed in Jesus, you should now. Like, the tabernacle is really pointing at him at every single way you can slice it, right? And so with the whole entire thing, this is the whole entire setup of what heaven is like. So what the throne of thrones is like, what being in God's presence is like, this is what heaven looks like. Like, God's in the center and in the midst of all of us. He's dwelling with us. And this is what it looks like. He even got furniture in there, in the holies of holies, in the holy place. He has furniture, where you can just dwell with him, and there's cherubim inside protecting him. So, like, he don't need protection, but there's cherubim in there anyways, right? Because that's why he made them. So they're made just to keep people in, keep people out. It can be for a lot of reasons, right? But you got cherubim images on the holy place all around. So where the veil is right here, where the red, blue, and purple is, and the red, blue, and purple again is right here when you first enter the holy place. So, yeah, Justin, I'm sorry, man. I just had to give all that.
No, you're good.
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah. I'm going to go back to, like, obviously you're very passionate about talking about the tabernacle too, because you have, like, loads of videos, you're very knowledgeable about it. I think that's good to have, like, a passion for, like sports and a multitude of things. Like, when you are, I was, like, listening to a video about, like, having confidence as well. So you need, like, a big part of that is, like, instead of, like, talking about your interests, like, yeah, I kind of do this now and then. Like, people are more willing to, like, listen to you if you're, like, passionate about a topic. So I think, like, to name something I'm passionate about, it's like I'm passionate about, like, motorcycles, like, how the body works, like, health wise and things like that. So I feel like when I talk to people about those things, like, I can really connect to them as well. I guess there's a danger of, like, going, but, like, again, a big part is intention though. Like, when we talk about the tabernacle, we're talking about, like, God, like, we're talking about, like, the kingdom of heaven, like, how God's kingdom is, like, set up and organized and things like that. Same thing with, like, the statues. When we are, like, sports, when we're talking about those things, it should be, we need to make sure that when we talk about it, it's not elevating them above. Like, the Hebrew word in the Bible, when it's talking about graven images, can also be translated to, like, idols or carved metal or wood. So it's basically like talking about sculptures, but it's a little more than that. Just as how sculptures or, like, idols are not necessarily the only graven images, because lots of things can be idols, like our fantasies or our dream job or other people can be, like, our idols. Just as how graven images are not limited to statues, we also have to remember that not every statue is necessarily going to be a graven image, but it really depends on the intention as well. Like, I want to believe that when I see, like, a powerful statue, maybe of, like, Martin Luther King Jr. or, like, of Michael Jordan, like, we remember, like, how great those people were, like, all the adversity, what they overcame, and the principles that came with it. But it is very dangerous to, like, treat them as, like, have them like above God, or like idolize them to the point that we think they're that basically what we're saying before, like sometimes we treat celebrities as our gods. So that can be very dangerous. Like for Martin Luther King Jr., for example, like he overcame so much adversity, strived for like so much freedom, for civil rights. Like it's like, who wouldn't want to like honor that? But a lot of times, like, people may use his name and they're not upholding like his views, or they're not upholding his wisdom at all. They're just like using his name. Same with the statues. Sometimes we can like lift them up and like have them a big part of their lives, but we're not living what that's supposed to represent, or like we're taking God out of the equation. And like that can happen with like any idols. It may sound like I'm calling Sean out on this, but I do remember like one time you did a sermon and you had like you gave like track and field as an example, an analogy, and like starting out like it made sense, like you was able to like relay it back for like a really good message. But I do remember like you went into like all the specifics of the track and field, and I was thinking, I feel like this metaphor has gotten away from us a little bit. I guess that's kind of, I don't think that Sean was like using track and field as like elevating it above God, but I guess like that's an example of how it can get away from us sometimes. And sometimes the metaphor gets lost and like we lose God in a little bit of that. But same for like the people, the statues are made for, like, yeah, like Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, all these people did amazing things, but like if you like their skills that are given from God, like they of course they worked hard for that, like no one denies that, but a lot of it is also like a God-given talent. I remember reading an article about how Michael Jordan just had the right electromuscular system to be able to react perfectly for like dunks, or like to like coordinate his body in just the right way. And like that's not something you can train either. That's like something you're born with, but you have to hone it. But if you don't like thank God for it, like it's like Samson. Like Samson, if you read, was given the power of God. Like it's very specific that it's given the power of God. He didn't get the spirit of God. He didn't get the wisdom of God. He just had the strength. And we all saw what happened there. Like he fell away from God. He used the gift that God gave him for like wrong purposes. And it's like, that's just an example of like where sometimes we can elevate something above God, but we turn away from him. And that's very, of course, that's very dangerous with statues as well. Like the Tower of Babel, like, people believe that we could build something that could go even further than heaven, that could be surpass God himself. But like God told them, no, you like that's impossible. And like he showed them how little control they actually had in the whole scheme of things. So same thing with the statue, same thing with like any idols we have, same thing with like where we find our security, whether it's in our jobs or finances or house or just anything else that we think keeps us safe. Like if we separate that from God, like there's a real danger there.
Right. Yeah, this video about to get deep, man. You just brought it to a whole different level now. So like, yeah, like that's the whole point, guys. Like Paul was, I'll just get to straight to the point before I read the verses, but Paul was saying to the Corinthian church, like everybody was trying to push what they believed right about life on the other people. So like for me, for example, like with basketball and track, right? You guys, I think you guys can tell, like when it comes to basketball and track and just sports in general, I love it, right? So like, I mean, do I love it like that? No, but to some people it could seem like, oh, Sean loves basketball, he idolized basketball, but I don't love the game like that. Like if I did, I'd be in the NBA, NFL, I'd be in the Olympics, but I don't love it like that, right? But to some people, it can be a stumbling block, right? So that's the whole point. So like, Paul had to tell some of the Corinthians, like, don't push what you believe. Like, don't push your liberty, your freedom, what you think's right on the other people. Because they may not, it may not turn them on like that. You know what I mean? It may turn them off. It may, the biggest thing is it may lead them away from Christ. So Paul was like in 1 Corinthians 9, I know he said it there, and probably in 1 Corinthians 6, he said, like, you know, I buffet my body and I beat it unto submission. You know, I become unto others what they need me to be, right? So, you know, to the weak, I become weak. To the poor, I become poor. You know, to the Pharisee, I become a Pharisee. He says, like, no matter what, like, I can be relatable to whatever flavor you are, right? Because I'm trying to reach everybody for Christ. Yeah. And that's how we got to be as believers. We don't need to be, like, so gung-ho about certain things. I can use politics as an example. You can be a Republican, you can be a Democrat. Don't mean you need to push your views on the other people. That's a graven image. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, and that's the whole point. Paul was like, you know, there's so many graven images. It's not just statues, right? And you have to be careful not to make these things your God and force them on the other people and tell them, hey, you need to worship these. So a good example, like Justin just used, like with basketball, I have to, and that's what the guy was telling me, Justin. He was saying, yeah, you got to be careful when you talk about basketball and stuff, because like to some people, it could be offensive. And that's so true. But then another thing too is like, you got to play devil's advocate. You got to be who God called you to be. If you're passionate about something, talk about it. Like, you know what I mean? Because like, I think, Justin, I don't know if you said it on this video or if you said it before the video, but you're just saying like when you're passionate about something, and you know it really matters to you, people can feel it. So then they understand it better, because like God speaking through you is something that you're passionate about, right? So like, yeah, it's just gotta make sure that the passion is glorifying God and stuff like that. But yeah, let's go to the scripture verse real quick. So 1 Corinthians 8, I'm gonna read from the King James Version Bible. Let me make it bigger, hopefully guys you can see it, because I didn't feel like making the font or whatever. All right, so let's go ahead and read it. So it says, hey, Justin, turn me down for a second. All right. So it says, now as touching things offered on the idols, we know that we all have knowledge, and knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. And if any man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Right. So let me go back to verse one. Now, as touching things offered on the idols, we know that we all have knowledge, but knowledge puffeth up, but charity edify. So love is the most important thing. So it don't matter what you like, what turns you on. So for me, it's basketball. For Justin, he said it was motorcycles. So no matter, it's other stuff for Justin too, like science. So like, no matter what you are most passionate about, whatever gets you going, right? Whatever motivates you and brings you closer to God. That's what we're talking about, right? It, God speaking to you through these things. Don't mean that it's going to speak to everybody about these things, right? So knowledge puffeth up. So what my political views are, as an example, knowledge puffers up, but love edifies. So it doesn't matter what I think's right, you know, how much knowledge I got on a subject, right? It don't matter. I could prove people wrong about Kobe Bryant all day. At the end of the day, some people are just not going to like Kobe Bryant. Some people are just not going to like the game of basketball. So now touching things offered on the idols. So love is the most important thing. So showing people, like, the care that they need, not the care that you want to show them, to show people the Christ that they need to see. Not the Christ that you want to show them. Like, so same thing. Like with basketball, I can bring people to Christ talking about basketball, talking about Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan and stuff like that. But it's not going to bring everybody to Christ. So that don't need to be my only thing I use to edify believers. You see what I'm saying? Because not everything, you know, knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. So I have to be considerate of my environment. And this is what Paul's going to talk about. So verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 8, as concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in idols, in sacrifice on the idols, we know that an idol is nothing, and there is none other God but one. So some people will say, hey, man, the game of basketball, you know, or, you know, motorcycling, and, oh, definitely, Justin, motorcycle groups, right? They're the thugs of the world. They're gangsters, right? They don't glorify God. So, like, as concerning those things, man, like, these are nothing. What do they have in comparison to God? Our God, nothing. Like, and so, but some people make these things to be God. Basketball, football, baseball, money, sex. We make these things to be, you know, idols. I'm going to use another example. Hugh Hefner. What guy wouldn't want to be Hugh Hefner, right? I'm pretty sure he got a statue somewhere. But, like, these things, these people mean nothing to God. Like, there's some things that we're passionate about. It does not mean a hill of beans, right? But to some people, it's a stumbling block. This is what Paul's going to talk about. So for though there be that are called, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, whom all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat. It is as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So that's the whole point. So for some people, like, it defiles them to talk about basketball, talk about Kobe Bryant, especially, like, I'm going to just call some things out, like, well, his rape charges, like, and stuff like that. Like, it could be a stumbling block with Michael Jordan's gambling problems and his divorce with his wife, like, and then him marrying another young woman. Like, she's like 20 years younger than him. So, like, yeah, that could be a stumbling block, right? You're conscious, right? But not to everybody, right? So you have to be considerate of the knowledge that you have, like, the conscience that you have, like, whatever you're eating, right? So it's not just talking about physical eating. So Paul, he's obviously talking about, you know, the Corinthian church, they were eating. I'm going to paint the picture. So in Corinth, right? The Corinthian church was in Corinth. Corinth is a place where a lot of cultures, a lot of worlds. We all know Israel is around, and Jerusalem's around a lot of pagan nations, a lot of pagan people, right? So that means a lot of gods were being worshipped and stuff like that. And so in Corinth, they had a lot of more gods present there and being worshipped and idolized and stuff. So they had statues and everything like that. And so you could be in a Corinthian church and still be walking through Corinth, and you see people that have that are worshiping idols, and people are offering food to these idols. And so then they were eating the food that they offered to the idols. But to a believer, like, you know what I mean, in that culture, they were starving. So food wasn't as easy to get to, like, in America. I can only talk for America. So, like, in Corinth, like, when you get food and you see it, you better eat it, because you don't know where you're going to get your next meal, right? And so some of the people in the Corinth church saw other Christians from the Corinth church eating at these idol worship functions, and they were like, why are they doing this, right? Like, you're worshiping an idol. But they were just hungry. That's all they were. They didn't care about the idol. Like, they just saw food and wanted to eat. So that's the whole point, right? And so, yeah, you guys get it. So let me go to that next verse. Or just, you know, I'll let you go, and then I'll finish saying,
yeah, what I was going to say. I think, like, I have 2 points. I'm trying to figure out which one I want to go based on what you were saying. Yeah, I think, like, it's important to, like, know where your limit is as well. Like, going back to Paul's verse about, like, the meat that's served with the idols. I'll give you an example. I have a friend who he used to be an alcoholic when he was a lot younger, hasn't touched a drop in, like, decades. Like, he doesn't drink at all because he knows, like, what a stumbling block that is. So he has to draw a very hard line for that. But for, like, me and some of my friends, like, we can drink socially because, like, we don't have that vice. And I don't think there's anything wrong for either side. I think it's wrong to, like, get drunk or, like, black out. The Bible does warn you against that. But I don't think there's anything wrong on either side, just because we have to know where that person is at in their life. So same thing with, like, the meat, same thing with, like, the statues or the idols. Like, I think something is perfectly fine depending where you're at, just depending on, like, where you're elevating that person or elevating that statue. Using sports as an example, for, like, Sean, he uses that as, like, motivation. He knows the work ethics of Kobe Bryant and, like, Curry and, like, Michael Jordan. And, like, he uses that for motivation. But, like, I could easily see a lot of my friends and a lot of people, especially being in Alabama, where, like, sports is their life. Like, they use that as, like, it's more than just a distraction to them. They will use that to, like, escape from the world, which is, like, very dangerous. And that actually goes back all the way to the times of the gladiators or the gladiator games. like the I forgot who the leaders were, like the Caesars back then, they would use, like, they knew that the people were restless. They knew that the people were, like, poor and, like, not getting enough food and water because they were hoarding it for themselves. So they used the gladiator games to, like, distract people from, like, their real problems. And I think we still do that today for, like, multiple things. Like, social media or the news will, like, throw out things that we perceive as a problem that really aren't, to distract us. And I think Trevor Noah said this. He's a great comedian slash politician slash newscaster, whatever. But, like, he was saying, like, a lot of times the news will use that to distract us from the real problem. So I think we do have to be very, we do have to, like, know ourselves. Like, is this something we're passionate about? Or are we using this as a distraction from, like, real life, from real strength, from real things that God wants us to carry out on?
Right. Yeah, I'm going to finish off 1 Corinthians 8 real quick.
Yeah.
To really prove our point, right? So 1 Corinthians 8 verse 8 says, but meat committeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. So basically that's saying, like, it doesn't matter, like, whatever you think, whatever will come off as an idol to other people, that's one way of looking at it. So whatever will come off as an idol to other people that they think that you're worshiping, like, it doesn't matter if it's better if it's better for you or worse for you, right? Like, you have a liberty to, like, just, you know, you have a freedom to do what you want in this life, basically. And that's the next verse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. That's the whole point. So you can't just afford, as a believer, you can't afford to just live how you want to live, to just do what you want to do. Like, in Christ, you have freedom to do a lot of things. Right, you have freedom and liberty to do a lot of things in this life, but, you know, just like Paul said, you know, everything is, you know, everything comes from God, everything's good, right? So the game of basketball is good, man didn't make that, God gave somebody an idea to make that game. Football, same thing, right? Kobe Bryant fell in love with the game of basketball that somebody created, right? Michael Jordan, same thing, and they elevated to a different height, different levels, right? So that liberty can be a stumbling block to some people just from how the game, it's a game. It ain't that serious, but some people be, you know, getting in fights and murdering people. If they, whoever, what, you know, just based on it, they think LeBron James is the GOAT compared to Michael Jordan. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it can be a stumbling block to some people that are weak. So you have to be careful and take heed, you know, by any means, that you don't use your liberty as a stumbling block, right? Because, you know, God commands us to do a lot of things. You know, if we eat, we're no better. If we eat, we're no better. Like, you know, if you like game basketball, that's great. You like the game football, that's great. You like motorcycles, that's great. It ain't everything. That's Paul's whole point. It's just an idol. Like, it's just, you know, a thing. It ain't that serious. The only thing that's serious that needs to be worshipped like that is God. The only person we need to elevate like that is God. You see what I'm saying? So, all right. I hope they can still hear my video because that's been turning me down. Babe, can y'all hear me? That's been turning me down.
Yeah, I can hear you, but it still, yeah, still has like that reverb going on.
Okay, I'm worried now because I'm recording a video, right? But I turned me all the way down so you can't hear the echo on a laptop. But I guess you can still hear me though. So, like, yeah, I think I'm fine, right? You can still hear me?
Oh. Yeah, try speaking a little.
All right, yeah.
But, all right. Same.
Let me just finish these verses, then we'll end the video. No, you're good. All right, so 1 Corinthians 8, verse 10 says, for if any man see thee which has knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? So people who see other people sinning and worshiping idols, if they're young believers and young in the faith, they might do the same thing. So they don't even know what they're doing. They just see somebody that they idolize and somebody that's been following Christ doing something, so they may copy them. So this is what Paul's saying. You got to be careful how you live. You got to be careful how you operate, because there's people who are weaker in the faith that's going to copy you and mimic you, or they're going to be turned off by what you do and not want to follow Christ at all. So like Christ, like Jesus, you know, Paul was trying to say, like, I do everything it takes to win people for Christ. That's the goal. That should be all of our goals. So the game of basketball, yeah, that matters to me, but I don't need to be preaching that every single sermon. And then I need to be careful with going too far, like Justin said, like with the track analogy, because like it can be a stumbling block. People will miss out on the message if I'm talking about it too much. So this is what Paul's saying. So, and through thou knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. And so that was a question. And then verse 12, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. So wherefore, if you make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So Paul was willing not to, you know, go for anything that he's passionate about, you know, throw it in other people's faces if he's passionate about it, right? Because it could be an idol. If you consider an idol to other people, you know, their conscience can't handle it. And if you sin against their conscience, you're sinning against Christ. So this is why it's so important to watch how you live, watch what you say, watch what you're worshiping, right? Watch what you're idolizing. Because at the end of the day, I like how we call it idols too. Because people even ask in a school system, you know, in corporate America, they say, you know, what's your idol? Who's your idol?
Oh, yeah.
That's a bad question to ask.
That's right. Oh, we do that. Yeah.
Right. They can seem like it's an okay thing. It's not. Like, you know, what's your idol? You know, who do you idolize? Like, man, that's a deep question. But the whole point is, do you idolize Christ more than you idolize all the rest of the idols? Is Christ the one you truly worship in, or do you worship something else? So this is what the graven image is talking about, man. Like, it goes way deeper. Like, to make a graven image of something is a lot. It means a lot. Like, so let me talk about that. So is a graven image under any circumstances, is it okay? Like, for some people, a graven image is just art. Like, it literally took an artist to make this Kobe Bryant statue. I don't even know who made it. It was somebody that, like, I know one person who's going to make Kobe statue made Michael Jordan statue, right? And so in making Michael Jordan statue, like, it's powerful that he made Michael Jordan statue, and now he's making Kobe Bryant statue, because it shows, like, how great the two are. He ain't made no other statue for anybody else but Michael Jordan. Now he's going to make it for Kobe Bryant. That shows how great Kobe is, right? So that's one. It's an artist that had to make this Kobe Bryant statue. So for some people, this is just art. That's all it is. To him, it's art. An artist just expresses themselves through their craft. But to some people, like, that's not art. That's an image. You see what I'm saying? So, like, under any circumstances, is it okay to have a graven image? To me, yeah. Like, it is. We just saw that with the Ark of the Covenant and the cherubim, right? Like, they're not worshiping the cherubim. It's God. Like, it's God's presence there. They're not worried about the cherubim there, right? Same thing for, like, these statues in the sports arenas. Like, I talk about it a lot lately. You know, the Los Angeles Lakers at Staples Center, now Crypto Arena. You know, they have a lot of statues of all the greats that played for them. They got Magic.
Man, some of those statues are pretty awesome, though. Those are art. To be fair.
Right. Like, Shaq, this is his signature dunk, guys. Like, do you see this? Like, when you think about Shaq, you think about him dunking a ball like this on people. Like, doing his elbow, shoving people out the way, and, oh, he being triple team and quadruple team and just manhandles them. Like, this is what you think about when you think about Shaq. Like, Magic Johnson, you think about him passing the ball, and he's, like, orchestrating just like this. Like, this is what you see. Jerry West, this is the logo. This is what the NBA logo looks like. He's called the logo. That's his nickname. But that's how great he was. You know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, his hook shot. You got to have his hook shot. Michael Jordan, his tongue sticking out. Let me go to – where's Michael Jordan? Yeah, Michael Jordan, his tongue sticking out, jumping from the free throw line, but he did do it on people like on Space Jam. Right? That's dope. Right? That's his statue for the Chicago Bulls. You see what I'm saying? Like, this is art. Like, to some people, this is a game of basketball. Like, just appreciating – their greatness, what they meant to these organizations. To some people, like I showed you the Los Angeles Lakers, they got a lot of statues. They have Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kobe Bryant now, Shaquille O'Neal. Like, they're rare. No organization has that many statues. The Utah Jazz only got Karl Malone and John Stockton. That's it. What do you guys know about the Utah Jazz? Nothing. They never won a championship, right? You only see people with statues. Like, a lot of statues when they're part of championship organizations like that. You see what I'm saying? So, like, it's just a lot to say with that, man. But you guys get it. Like, just from the video, like, let me go back to my questions. Justin, I'll let you answer it, man, and I'll come back to it.
Okay.
But
yeah, what was the next question? Let me see if I can address that real fast.
Yeah, let's just go to them. So one question was, when does the what does the Bible mean?
Oh, yeah.
When it talks about graven images.
Yeah, I touched on that a little bit. Like, the Hebrew word that they use can kind of be translated as either graven image or idol or literally carved wood or metal. And like I said, like, we should not take it too literally. Like, when Jesus came, when Jesus, like, did his ministry, he was telling, like, the Pharisees and all that, like, you need to honor the spirit of the law, not just, like, the word for word of the law. He's saying, like, the law tells you not to murder, but I tell you this, like, if anyone has anger in their mind, they've murdered their brother. Like, that's honoring the spirit of it. Or, like, when the Pharisees were getting on to him for, like, healing on Sabbath. Like, who has the audacity to say you can't help somebody on a specific day? But Jesus was like, you need to honor the spirit, like, that God, like, the spirit of helping or a servant spirit when at all times. So same with this. It's like the first four of the Ten Commandments are basically our relationship with God. So I see it when the Bible is talking about a graven image, it's not a literal translation of like a statue or an idol that we look up to. It is pretty much anything that is ruining our relationship with God or anything that elevates itself. I think I'm just repeating myself, but that's pretty much what I see is like, we do need to figure out like, what is the spirit of the commandment that God is giving us.
Right. Yeah, just I'll just let you answer the questions, man. Like, because I've been talking forever.
Okay.
So you'll just see how you could.
The second one's kind of tough for me because I'll read it off. Is it sin for sports teams to have statues around their stadiums/arenas? I don't think so. Like, there's nothing inherently, as I said before, there's nothing inherently or morally wrong with like having a statue. It's like the intention behind it. And I don't think we'll ever know like the intention behind like why stadiums put up a statue, like for each and every purpose. So I'll just go into the intention of the people who receive it. I think it can be a great way to honor people. I think it can be a great way to be motivated. I do think it is like anything in this world, it's very dangerous if we like take it too far. As I said before, like there will be some people who will use the philosophy or a person for their own agenda. Like, man, look at the time before the Civil War. You had Confederates and the Union, like pro-slavery and anti-slavery, like both use Bible verses. Like, it's so easy to weaponize it or to like mold it in the way that you want. So it's very easy to use a person or an image towards your own agenda. Like, I've seen people like say they're supporting MLK, but they're like, you look at their philosophy and you can tell that that's not from a place of love. It's not from a place of like civil rights or anything like that. Or like, look at people who idolize, who else? Muhammad Ali or Bruce Lee. And they're saying like, oh, they're doing the regimens or they're doing the workout that's related to them. But man, they don't actually know like what it's like to go through their, like, man, if you look at Muhammad Ali's training schedule, it's insane. So those people don't know anything about like what Muhammad Ali went through, but like they'll still use their names like constantly. So I feel like it's very important to like, I don't know, one, not idolize a person, and two, like be your own person, like use those statues, use those people, use their philosophies as like a backboard to like, or springboard to like further your own ambitions, but like don't like idolize them, like you like use them as an influence for sure. Like God's the only one who can like possibly offer all the influence that we need. Because, like I said, like Michael Jordan, I'm not going to put down Michael Jordan at all. He's an amazing basketball player. As I said, like no one has like the gifts that he has. But like, if you watch some of his documentaries, you also notice he's very human. Like, man is competitive. Like, he will, if someone slighted him, he will put you down, which is kind of funny. But like, that's just an example of like how we do need to put statues and our idols in their proper place, like proper perspective. So I don't think there's anything wrong with statues. I do think maybe we're in a culture where we idolize celebrities a lot, and we've talked about that before, right? So we do have to take that with a grain of salt, like very carefully.
Right. Yeah, I'll let you keep on going, man. Make sure you cover everything.
Oh, okay. Let's see. I'll kind of combine like the last three though. Actually, I'm going to put like B and C two together because those are good. But the first C is like, man, that's a lot to unpack. So I'll start with, are the statues around graven images, and is it a sin to make a statue of a man? As I said before, like, it's just the intention that we approach the statues. Like, if they are a good reminder to us, like, there's even statues of like people from the Confederate Army that people want to take down. Man, I don't want to get political about this. I don't want to like people to cancel Sean's YouTube, but I do think there's a danger of like taking down statues, because that causes us to forget. And mm-hmm. I think there's a danger of not learning from our history, of not learning of the wrong things people have done. Just as in there's a danger of not remembering the great things people have done. I think it is great that we have statues to remind us, like good or bad. In Germany, I'll use Germany. Germany is an awesome example, actually, because they really own up to their history. Like, if anyone has something bad in their history, it's Germany, and they are very well aware of it. But their schools are very different. In the U.S., we learn the bad things we've done, but we also kind of make ourselves feel like crap about it. In Germany, it's very interesting. A couple of my international friends have told me that the teachers will be like, yes, this is a terrible thing that Hitler did. This is a terrible thing that happened in our history, but it's not your fault. And they'll indicate the students, it's not your fault, but you can do better. Like, you can be better. And they'll like show airport, like Hitler actually built a bunch of stuff in Germany, unfortunately, or whatever. He built airports, he built systems that the German people are very aware of, like who built them, but they use it for good. Like, I think they used one of the airports in like one of the Mission Impossible movies. And they were like, the German people were like so excited because there was this airport that they were kind of ashamed of, but it got used in an American movie. So then they got like, oh, thank goodness, like something terrible has been used for good. And isn't God like that? Doesn't he use bad things for good? I guess the good in this case is a Mission Impossible Tom Cruise movie. But like, same thing with the statues. Like, we can use that for good. Like, I don't think it is a sin to build statues. I think it's very easy for it to be an idol. Don't get me wrong. I think it's easier to treat it as an idol than as a reminder, but I think it can be used as a great influence. So I'm going to say no. I don't think it's inherently a sin.
Yeah.
But then for like the first C, are these statues that sports have around a graven image that the Bible is referring to? Gosh, that's tough. I'm going to use, to use the tabernacle as an example. God, statues in general are not bad. We've already said that. Sean did a great job indicating that God even ordained some statues to be put on the ark, to be put in the tabernacle. But then you look at the golden calf that the people, the slaves from Egypt, worshipped. Like, that is poster image of what a graven image is. I don't think statues outside of stadiums are a graven image per se, unless we elevate that above God. Again, I feel like a graven image is not limited to statues. Like, we have to look at the spirit of it. Graven images are anything that we put above God. It, like, science, like, Sean was saying before, like, I'm very enthusiastic or passionate about science because of what it can do. But, like, I'm also very aware that people use science as a graven image. People use science as an idol. They think it can solve all of our problems. But, like, anyone in the medical field can tell you that we have not been doing a great job at, like, solving all of the problems. Like, we do make people's lives easier in a lot of aspects, but we can't save everybody, like, at all. But, like, some people still look on the internet, see all the things that science has done, and that's become an idol. So, I mean, that can be a graven image as well. So the graven images are not, I'm just belaboring the same point. It's not limited to statues, and we should not fall into that trap to think it can be limited to statues. We have to be very intentional. Sean did a great job explaining this. We have to be intentional about, like, where our focus is, like, where our motivation comes from. Like, because, like, if it's not from God, and we're elevating something else, then that is an idol. Like, that is a graven image.
Yeah, I want to put the definition of graven images up real quick. Because, I mean, you just covered it with what you just said. Yeah, so the definition of graven images is, let me share my screen. It says a carved idol or representation of a god used as an object of worship. Mm. So I'm going to repeat that. A carved idol or representation of a god, right? Used as an object of worship. That's what a graven image is. So it has to be a god, a representation of a god. Is Michael Jordan a god? No. Is Kobe Bryant a god? No. Like, to some people, though, they may be a god.
And the verses that you had read about Paul, too, made it very aware that there are multiple lower G gods as well. Like, we give right. them, like, we make our own gods. Like, we make power. Gods. Yeah.
Right. We give them that power. So, like, something can be a carved up image. It could be art, right? It could just be Martin Luther King. Hmm. But some people can make a man into a god and worship him. We do that with Mary, even. Hmm. I have gone there, but I'm going there. That's, like, no, make yeah, we make some saints in the idols. We make them bigger than what they really are. They're just like us. They're man and human just like us. They're sinners just like us, but we worship them. What sense does that make? Right? So, yeah, I want to end out the video saying this too. I want to use these verses. You know, Exodus 34:14 says, do not worship any other god, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. God is a jealous God. You shouldn't be worshiping anything but him. This is the whole point of graven images. The only image that matters is Jesus. The only image that should be worshiped is Jesus. And honestly, it's not an image. It's a person, right? So we don't worship any image. Like, so these images that people get hung up of Jesus being white or black, or he got dreads or not, like, does he got blue eyes or blue? That ain't the focus. The focus is Jesus himself. Not the image, not the idol, not the artwork that we begin of him, right? Because it's not him. And that's the whole point. Are you flexible enough to, when you finally do see Jesus, you ain't too surprised, like, oh, he don't look like what I thought? Because that's the question. If Jesus was black, would you still worship him? If Jesus was Chinese, would you still worship him? If Jesus was a midget, which he was shorter than most people now, would you still worship him? So, like, that's the question, right? Like, it doesn't matter how he looks. It doesn't matter the image. We don't worship the image. We worship God and God alone. We worship Jesus and Jesus alone. That's the whole point. Graven images, are you kidding me? Stop putting so much, you know, stop being so hung up on images. That's the whole point, right? Like, these are just images. Stop worshiping them. That's Paul's whole point. Like, you know, I'm going to read another verse. Deuteronomy 4, verse 23 to 24. And these are from the New International Version Bible. It says, be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. Do not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. So do not make for yourselves an idol in any form, you know, in the form of anything, right? So in the form of anything, two things. It can't be in the form of anything. Yeah, you got to get it. It's forbidden by the Lord, right? It says an idol. It didn't say an image. It says do not make for yourself an idol. That's the point. So you can make images all you want. It's art. To an artist, I'm an artist. If you're not an artist, you don't think like that. And that's fine. Just don't pay attention to the images then. And then I have to be careful what I say to you, right? Because out of love for Christ and out of love for my neighbor, I'll do that. I will be considerate of what I talk about and what I say around you. And that's the whole point. But, like, don't make for yourself an idol, though. So don't make it bigger than what it really is. Don't make it into your God. Don't make it your end-all, be-all. Don't make it be your savior. Don't make it be anything like that. At the end of the day, it's just a graven image. And some people are worshiping monkeys and putting all their sacrificing their babies to, like, you know, an idol with eggs on it and stuff like that. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's stupid stuff like that. The God says, you know, don't do that. I'm your God. I'm a jealous God. Only sacrifice you need to make to, only sacrifices you need to make, only person you need to make sacrifices for is me, right? So, like, you don't need to make it for anybody else. So, yeah, that's what I got. Justin, you got anything? You feel like we answered all the questions?
Yeah, I feel like I'd just be belaboring the same points.
Yeah. But you guys get it. I hope you guys enjoyed the video, man. I really hope the audio wasn't
too bad. Yeah, I wish your audio was a little better. Like, after listening to it, like, I've gotten used to it, and I didn't even realize. So hopefully, like, people just kind of get used to the audio.
I hope it wasn't, like, that bad from their standpoint. That's all I care about. Mm,
yeah.
Maybe it's just like this for us. I hope it's not like that for them.
Yeah.
But, all right, guys. You guys know the drill. I'm trying not to say too much. All right. Because I don't want... Yeah, it's just a problem. All right, but anyways, hit my social media platforms. Got the best social media platforms ever. If you really enjoyed this video, you can go to my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads, right? So let me open that up real quick. So here goes my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads. I got a lot of playlists, a lot of videos. So this is me and Justin. Let me see, Justin, what video is this? This is me and your 95th video.
Is it 95th? Oh, nice.
We're approaching 100.
We need to do something special for the 100. I don't know what, but we will.
Yeah, I'll put you ball in your court, man. Whatever you want to do with this. But yeah, guys, me and Justin did 95 videos together, man. So on Upload Past Crossroads, if you scroll all the way down, you'll see a section called Our Podcast. You can click right here. You can watch any more videos that me and Justin have done together if you really enjoyed this. Mm. Then also, this was a question from social media, essentially. So me and Justin, we answer a lot of people's questions on social media. So you can go to this playlist on my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads, to listen to any questions that we've answered. And if you have any questions, you can DM me and Justin on our Facebook page. You know, Justin Lee Howell, that's his Facebook page. And that's my Facebook page, Sean Christopher Jenkins. Again, DM us if you have any questions. We'll do a video on a question that you asked us. So we love answering people's questions on social media. And then also, 1 Corinthians, I said a lot of Bible verses with that today. And referenced it a lot. So if you guys want to see me and Justin's Bible studies that we've done on 1 Corinthians and just any videos, sermons, anything that I've done on it, check out this playlist on my YouTube channel. Then also, I got 1 Corinthians 8 as well. I need to add that. I know I've done more videos than that on there. But anyways, I got a playlist on idol worship and worshiping idols and stuff like that. Check out this playlist as well. And then the Ark of the Covenant. Anytime I talk about the Ark of the Covenant, that's on there as well. So, yeah, guys, and then Justin's YouTube channel is Chaplain's Vlog, so subscribe to his YouTube channel if you liked it and want to hear more from him. He's talking a lot more on his channel. And then you can click the bell so you're notified anytime he uploads another video. And then make sure to like, comment, and share all of our videos. And we really appreciate you guys. I hope you guys really enjoyed this video on Graven Images, man. Like, so It's from a question we've been getting.
It was a good one too, yeah. Is that you really have to dig into like the spirit of it.
Right. But yeah, there's so much more we could have said, guys. We'll say it on other videos another time. So we'll talk to you guys later. All right, peace.
Stay blessed.